we hear of anniversaries, we often think of life-changing moments that we remember with a mix of gratitude and joy. But neither gratitude nor joy were in the mix a few short months ago when we noted the anniversary of the beginning of the COVID-19 global pandemic. This anniversary reminded us of our experiences of fear of the unknown, and most important of all, a sense of isolation from our families, neighbors, and friends. Extended Zoom connections have not adequately replaced being in close proximity and touching those whom we love. As we listen to the news, noting the numbers of vaccines that have been administered, and at the same time, hear reports of escalating rates of infection and more cities moving into lockdown, we sometimes wonder, how much longer can we live like this, separated, alone, on the sides? Our scripture readings for this Sunday offer a ray of hope in our seemingly isolated and distanced world. This Sunday is commonly referred to in the Christian world as Good Shepherd Sunday. In our readings today, we hear Jesus promise to never abandon us. We are not alone. Our shepherd will lay down his life for us, and that makes all the difference in the world. As we have seen throughout all of the Gospels, Jesus' way of connecting with the people was to offer analogies through parables or stories that could be easily understood because they related to their everyday lives. In our Gospel, we hear Jesus' reference to a shepherd. But what would the people hearing the parable have known of shepherds? Certainly, I knew nothing of shepherds. But in his Christmas homily, Pope Francis offered a telling description of shepherds in Jesus' time. He noted, by reason of their work, they were men and women forced to live on the edges of society. Their state of life and the places they had to stay prevented them from observing all the ritual prescriptions of religious purification. And as a result, they were considered unclean. Their skin, their clothing, their smell, the way of speaking, their origin, all betrayed them. Everything about them generated mistrust. They were men and women to be kept at a distance, to be feared. They were considered pagans among the believers, sinners among the just, and foreigners among the citizens. So given this description, why would Jesus say that he is the good shepherd? In the parable of the good shepherd, Jesus reminds us that he knows what it means to be isolated, on the fringe, and rejected by society. But he does not get stuck in stereotypical images of shepherds of his day. Jesus differentiates himself from hired hands who have no commitment to the flock they are to protect. If the sheep are attacked, the shepherd for hire sees no value in trying to protect the flock. They have no vested interest in the sheep. Their focus is on self-protection. Why put your life on the line for animals that you don't even own? In contrast, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says he gives his life for his sheep, for us, no holds barred. As we have recently seen in our Easter liturgies, the climax of our story is not abandonment and death of our Good Shepherd. Like the women at the tomb, we hear the angels say to us, he is not dead, he is risen. My hope in my shepherd is not dead, because he is not dead. The fear that hope had died with the crucifixion and death of Jesus is a recurrent theme as well in the Acts of the Apostles. In our first reading, we see Peter being questioned by the elders and leaders of the temple. So we naturally wonder, how did he get there? What was the context of this inquisition? In the previous chapter of Acts, we see Peter and John walking to the temple to pray. They hear a lame man begging for money. Crippled from birth, this man could be considered the epitome of hopeless. He had few options in his life except to beg for prayers and alms of those who would come to the temple to pray. Peter tells the man that he cannot give him that which he is begging for, silver and gold. But he said what he can give him is healing in and through the name of our good shepherd, Jesus of Nazareth. The lame beggar leapt up and began jumping and praising God. But when the people milling around the temple door saw this, they were amazed and asked Peter and John how the lame man was healed. Peter tells them that it was in the name of Jesus, whom the Jewish leaders had handed over to Pilate to be put to death, that this man was healed. Now, wouldn't you think the people would join in rejoicing with this man who had been healed? Not so. The Sadducees, who were entrusted with maintaining public order in the temple, saw the crowd gathering around Peter and John, and they wanted to understand the context of the crowd's excitement and were dismayed when they heard the apostles speaking of Jesus and confirming that he had risen from the dead. Peter, who only a few short weeks before had been hiding in an upper room with the other disciples, speaks with boldness of God's Spirit. He references our responsorial Psalm 118. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. He states clearly that there is no salvation except through Jesus. With this proclamation, the temple authorities are at a loss. Would the people believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? And how could they silence Peter and John without inciting the ire of the people who still are amazed by the miracles that they have seen? As often happens in politically charged situations, the chief priests and Sadducees agree to simply order Peter and John to stop proclaiming that the blind, deaf, and lame are healed in the name of Jesus. But we know that those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are absolutely impossible to silence. Our second reading from the first letter of John offers words of encouragement to an early church that has been troubled by schism. Many in the early church had not met or seen Jesus. So how could they have faith in someone that they had not encountered? The aim of this letter of John was to persuade those in the early church community to believe that Jesus, our Good Shepherd, is the Christ, the incarnate Word of God. What message might be given to the people to help them to understand, without having met Jesus, what he was truly like? We hear again the message of the Good Shepherd, who gives his life for his sheep. In our readings today, we hear how our relationship and faith in Jesus, who is crucified and has risen from the dead, transforms our bad times into our best times, our sadness into joy, our fear into hope, and our isolation into communion. Our life circumstances may persist, but our responses to these circumstances change when we know that we do not face life's challenges alone. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, will never abandon us, and that makes all the difference in the world.